Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. This is the Gilcast. You also might be listening to this on the RotoGrinders Daily Fantasy Football feed. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by Sammy Reed and Nate Noling. Just not a good week of football in general, guys. Like, just not. It's very hard when all the news headlines are about who's not playing and games are getting removed from the main slate. Like, and the results showed because my teams were fucking bad.
I wasn't into it either. I played way less volume than I normally play, and I feel like it didn't affect Nate at all. Nate just rolled out of bed on Sunday morning, uploaded his CSV, projections spit out, and he just made a lineup and printed. That's how Nate printed. Rolled.
Yeah. I mean, no, I hated today. I was like, I'm building these lines, and I'm like, I don't like any of this, but yeah, it did make money. So it's a good day, but it was a crappy slate of football.
I only made two tournament teams. That's gotta be like a record low for me. And I didn't even have the motivation to enter the afternoon slate. Like, normally I'll at least make one team for the afternoon slate just to sweat. And I looked at it for like 5 minutes and I was like, I'm not doing this. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm not trying to figure out a game stack for Bengals 49ers, which I guess the sharp stacks were on Huntley Andrews was the move, I guess, but well,
yeah, whatever. Or goof double sacks. You just gotta
goof doubles. All right. So Nate scored 134.08. I scored 122.08. Whirling Dervish scored 118.14. We all played different quarterbacks, which does not happen all that often. Nate played Kyler, I played Dak, and Sammy played Tua. Tua was pretty much who I was on all week until I realized that the optimal lineup that I was getting spit out was four Dolphins, and I was just like, you know what? I'm not doing that.
I had a lineup at one point that was three Dolphins and three Jags, and I'm like, you know what? Like, we gotta burn it down. We gotta start all over. I ain't going to war with this. No way.
That was probably the most difficult thing to deal with on this slate was the fact that the Dolphins were playing the Jets. Gaskin was cheap, Gesicki was cheap. And then, you know, with the removal of Waddle, we had, you know, Parker was just a mega lock. I was the only one that played Gesicki, and I felt I didn't feel like super strong about Gesicki, but I guess I was just like, you know, he does have like the red zone equity, and I definitely didn't want to play multiple Jaguars because the secret is that Daryl Bevel is a loser, and he losered it up in this game. Was kicking field goals on the 3-yard line. Like, there was nothing different about the Jaguars. Like, the Jaguars
They did not get the Urban Meyer removal boost. That was a shocker.
No.
They got torn apart by Davis Mills. They lost by 14 to Davis Mills. Trevor Lawrence didn't throw a touchdown. He took 3 sacks. James Robinson looked average as hell. O'Shaughnessy, though, the Irish assassin for Sammy, did up leading the team in receiving, four for 60. Play. Yeah.
Sammy, I'm glad you got back to your roots, though. That is more of a new play that you've been avoiding all year, so I'm glad you did it.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I had to go for the brand. Definitely a brand equity game for me. You know, I played Deontay and a cheap, bad tight end who got there. So, you know, even though I lost money score-wise, I feel like the brand equity will long-term really pay off here.
Yeah,
it was just a bad week. I mean, there was almost nobody that I was excited about, like, in my lineup. I, like, at wide receiver, there was nobody that I really wanted to play.
No,
I
the
mean,
only the,
Devontae Diggs the... and Deontay were the top three clearly, but I wasn't, like, none of them I felt smashed about. Like, I was not
the only
I ended
guy
up with Deontay because he had the best
play.
Floor.
The only guy I excited to play was Gabe Davis. Gabe Davis at 3,700 was the one guy who I was like, I am excited to play you.
I was Gabe excited Davison. To play him too, and then I didn't play him. This is why I lost, because Gabriel goddamn Davis, like, put the blade in me. Like,
yeah, playing, I mean, you played, I guess, the 2v2 you did versus the popular team was you went Diggs. I can't even. Oh, you played Najee. There, yeah, so you
I purposely faded Gaskin, and that was sharp. But like,
yeah, you had to be feeling. Yeah, when Duke Johnson came out there for the first half, you had to be feeling pretty good about yourself.
I was feeling so good. I mean, the reality, like they like there was some note on Gaskin, like the coach wasn't like firm that he'd even play, and I was like, that sounds sus to me, man. Like,
yeah, I should have. I need to just have a mea culpa here. I should have known, because my co-host on TV, Craig Mish, pulls these audio clips for us to have on during our show. And one of them was Duke Johnson at the Miami press conference on Thursday saying he was ready to handle 25 touches, which he did in this game. And I'm hearing this audio, seeing this video, and I am discussing it on TV. And then apparently it just goes in one ear and out the other, because when Ahmed and Gaskin got activated, I dropped Duke Johnson on all my fantasy teams, very, very painful. And then played like a 60. I mean, I didn't play any Myles Gaskin in tournaments. Not that I really played that much today, but yeah, I mean, Gaskin didn't get a target, and he had about 18 rushing yards until the fourth quarter, and he broke a long one off to try and save the fish.
Man, yeah. if the Gaskin touchdown had gone and he had broken off like whatever a 60 yarder and gotten there, I would have been so steamed. Like, so.
But
steamed.
I mean, obviously the Duke Johnson performance highlights why everyone wanted to play him, which was, of course, this was clearly a matchup for the taking.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, he hasn't played in like, what, he missed two games?
Gaskin?
Yeah,
just one, because they just have a bye in week 13.
Oh yeah. Okay.
But Sammy, nobody could have guessed Duke Johnson. No, I
that's not right, Nate. It's not right that no one could have guessed, because the tea leaves were all there. If you go back and look, not to necessarily play Duke, but the tea leaves were there that Myles Gaskin was not going to get a full workload in this game.
I was worried with Ahmed being activated as well, but it's clear that Gaskin was like the favorite of those backs like all year. There was no reason. I mean, Duke, I literally,
yeah, except he just for, like, except he just got some touches. Omicron, bro, like, you don't know what's going on.
No, it was just
guy.
Exposure.
Yeah,
It wasn't sickness, which
we have seen already happen this season, though. I don't even remember who it was, but we've been in this exact situation before where a guy didn't get back in on practice and then didn't end up playing.
Maybe I'm missing it. I just, like, I thought Gaskin, his workload projection in this, I mean, ultimately all of the running backs. Yeah. I mean, it was very clear. Obviously you were playing Robinson, there was no question about that. The other like three running backs that I looked at was Gaskin, Carter, and Wilson. I mean, Harris you had to pay up for, which I just didn't feel like doing, but yeah, Gaskin, Carter, and Wilson I all thought were relatively similar, but I thought I'm just not playing a Jet.
Yeah, that was I kind of wanted to play Michael Carter, and then it was just basically like, I'm not playing a Jets running back with Zach Wilson at quarterback.
And look, it ended up being the right move. You just stick with the plan. Don't play any Jets.
No, yeah. but here's the
Gaskin
thing.
Is tilting watching Duke get all that work. Gaskin should have had 20 points. I mean,
Nate and you, both of you guys were far more mentally strong than me for playing Jeff Wilson Jr., who was clearly the lead back last week. He lost a little bit of passing down work to, Michael Hasty.
And he gets cucked on the regular at the goal line. Like, it happens.
But he gets all the work on first and second downs. And it was a far better matchup this week than it was last week, right? Atlanta is just the doormat. You know, they're fighting for a playoff spot, but we all know they're a big doormat team. And it was, you know, all the talk all week was, oh, you know, Jeff Wilson Jr., he's got this bulky knee. Debo's the running back. You can't, and it's just, it was a mentally weak job by me. It was just, truly was mentally weak to not go back to Jeff Wilson Jr.
On a normal week, I don't love paying for a running back in cash who doesn't catch passes. But this week, with the running back slate that it was at 5K, taking the third highest team total, like lead running back, was just, I didn't sweat it. I think
I thought San Francisco might win like 33-0 or something. Yeah. Like it had that kind of vibe to it.
Yeah, I wasn't too. I mean, normally I don't like paying guys who don't get passing work, but on this slate, what else are you going to do at running back?
Yeah, I was pretty big on Jeff Wilson Jr.
Well, you know. Nate, you, I can't give you full mentally non-week status because you played three running backs on the worst running back slate ever, which was very out of character.
I also did.
I mean, yeah. What the fuck?
Okay, so I struggled. My 2v2 this morning. My 2v2 this morning was Najee, Gesicki versus Gaskin and Kittle. But the three running back value was the best value I could find. There was no wide receiver value other than Gabe Davis. Kirk. And
Kirk was
obviously
a
in hindsight.
Well, not
hindsight. I touted his balls off on the Swolecast. It's like, it just makes
and
so much
not
sense.
Not only Kirk, you know who the projections wanted. You know who was in all the optimals?
St. Brown.
Amon-Ra St. Brown was it. Yeah. Amon-Ra St. Brown and Kirk are our optimals. There was a lot of four Dolphins, so I was just like, I'm throwing that out. I'm not doing that.
Redacted optimal.
Well, and Adams wasn't in our stuff either, which I guess the projections knew because he ended up with six for 40 and a touchdown or whatever.
Yeah.
In the end, but yeah, what I told you guys, and I mean, none of us ended up playing him because I swapped off. But what I told you guys this morning is. You just gotta be ready to hit the deposit button if you don't play Adams. Like, this just was like such an all time Adams spot. Like,
Rodgers, you said you were gonna scoop me if I didn't play Adams.
Yeah, and then I had to end up swapping in the end. But I just, I don't know. Like, I just felt like he was the highest projected player of the slate by so much, and he has had the best volume projection. Like, I don't know. He really did feel like a layup to me, and I am shocked, like literally shocked that Nate did not play him.
I was wrong, first of all, because my reasoning for not playing him actually was more of a game flow. I just didn't think Hundley was going to be able to put Green Bay in a spot where
if I tell you Green Bay scores 30, if that game ends 31-30, you're like, I'm going 100% Devontae Adams.
So my reasoning was wrong, but at the end of the day, I just thought 8,900, I thought Devontae had just a super low floor here. Like, it was one of those things where I was like, I mean, he doesn't need to see 10 targets for them to win this game. And
they had all the cornerbacks out. Rodgers wants to win MVP.
Yeah, there was no defensive back to be worried about.
COVID, I think. It was a volume concern. It wasn't an efficiency concern.
I get it. I thought Adams was going to smash. I really
Nate
did.
Just
I,
got
I,
visions of AJ Dillon running in the snow in his head.
Yeah, didn't you know there wouldn't be any snow, Nate?
I was wrong, but it actually worked. I mean, Devontae at 8,900. I don't know. I mean, yeah.
Well, my thing. So I played Diggs as my high priced. Well, I played Diggs and Deontay.
You played Diggs and Deontay.
Yeah. Which was dope.
Your team is very weird to look at. I did not consider anything like this construction at all.
It was
that's
bizarre.
Every week with Sammy's teams.
Yeah. No. Yeah. This team was definitely a little bit off the wall. I mean, we should like name the teams. So like.
Yeah. People, yeah. Look. Yeah, go through your whole team, Sammy.
Okay. I played Tua at quarterback. I went Najee, James Robinson, and Jeff Wilson at running back. I went Diggs, Deontay, and Devontae Parker at receiver. And then I punted with O'Shaughnessy. And then I played the kickerless.
The Bills defense felt like such a lock.
Yeah, with the Bills. I like this lineup a lot. Like, I like my three receivers. I like Diggs, Deontay, and Parker. I like Najee, Robinson.
I thought Najee was the most mentally weak play of the slate because it was just looking at. I thought Najee was the worst play of the slate because I thought all the expensive wide receivers, Diggs, Deontay, Adams, Lamb, you know, so I thought they were all better plays. And I thought
I got two of them. Like, I got two of the high priced receivers.
Right. But you also,
the only running back on the slate who was like, yeah, he's going to play 95% of snaps.
But you also a slot wide receiver with a 20% target share who is $5,000 at tight end. You could have gotten absolutely buried by Gesicki.
I mean, I got buried by Gabe Davis because I paid for Diggs.
Yeah. Bill's, yeah. I mean, and
Bill's
also
number two
also
wide
that.
Receiver. That was
also not playing Gabe Davis feels egregious to me.
Yeah, I mean, it was egregious. It was.
Sammy's lineup is so hard to break down because individually, I go, I don't hate.
Yeah, it's all fine.
It's just a weird construction that I would like never look at. Like, I'm trying to find fault, but like ultimately, Najee's the
fault. I think. I mean, it ended up working out for you, Nate. But I don't think three running back lineups were good at all.
Well, I mean, the issue with my lineup is I was so concerned about not playing three Jags or three Dolphins, and I ended up playing two Steelers, and that was in the
yeah. So, really so it's like the same thing. The Steelers, imagine
egregious, and Deontay Johnson, like my alpha.
It's amazing. I didn't even realize they won this game until right now.
Oh yeah, they you know, I'm playing some guy in the playoffs who. Yeah, played fucking Chris Boswell, and he just blows me to death. So tilting. Yep.
Did you see Ben Roethlisberger had to go like sit by himself in the tunnel because he was so tired after running for half a yard into the end zone?
No, I didn't. I didn't watch any of this game. I was actually in line with my family to like sit with Santa and get pictures with my daughter with Santa, and I'm like on my phone. Like trying to get updates while she's running around like a crazy person. And I'm just tilting the Kyler Murray. Like he just won't score any points. He just won't score any points.
Dude, that was unbelievable.
Yeah.
The Arizona game. I don't know what happened.
Like I should have outscored you guys by 30 points here. The fact that Kyler only got 15 here in this spot is just like I won today, but I'm still tilted about that. Like the second half run out for him should have been easy 300 yards with three touchdowns. Like
it was like that Lamar game against the Bengals where we all played him and he should have just gotten infinity and they benched him with like 8 minutes left.
Yeah. I just am so, yeah, I'm so tilted, but yeah, ultimately for me, like Davis, I get what you're saying about like, it's not a three running back week, but I just, none of the wide receiver value was really there for me. Outside of Parker and Davis, but there was no other.
So I get what you're saying that none of the wide receivers like jumped out as being like, oh, you know, those are like good plays or whatever. I get that, but they were all better plays than the running backs who were like disgusting.
I played the two value wide receivers. I played Gabe Davis and Devontae Parker. The only other option for me was to go down at,
yeah, you played
and
you,
up well, at you, Najee. Yeah. Like, and that's you, the Najee thing was the thing that I, the Najee thing was the decision maker for me where I just didn't think Najee separated himself that much from the Robinson, Gaskin and Wilson like crowd where I thought,
that's where I felt drastically
separated himself from tight end.
See, I thought that was the opposite. I'm like, you can pencil in Najee for all the snaps and all the work and you can't with Gaskin. Like that was. Yeah. I don't want to like keep relitigating Gaskin.
No, you were right. I your team didn't get there, but you did get this right, and you should be applauded for playing
take the Gabe Davis value, and that ended up being like a big the big differentiator on the slate.
That's yeah, this is such yeah. a you, the fact that you played a punt tight end. And to get Najee in is just like it's just blowing my mind.
That's how I roll, brother. I don't pay up at quarterback. I don't pay up at tight end. It's not part of the plan. It's not part of the system.
But to get,
it's not part of the plan.
To get,
can you get Najee in? It's just like blowing.
Yeah, like that's that. Like when Sammy sends his team, it's like okay, so he's punting at QB, he's punting at tight end, he's punting at running back. Where is he paying? It's yeah, like where is the dollars going? Do you only get to build with $45,000? Like
you're such an asshole.
Like I look at Sammy's team.
It's because our brains are not coding Stephon Diggs as an $8,000 wide receiver. Our brains are thinking of Diggs as like a $6,200 wide receiver.
Yo. I mean, Diggs from what I was looking at was pumping out as a just
no, he
known
he was
value than Davante Adams projection wise. And I was like, shoot, I like Adams a whole lot better, but I'm gonna go with the numbers on this one. I don't know.
No, yeah, he was. You're right. I mean, Diggs was our number. I think our number two value behind Devontae Parker. But it's just like,
yeah, but he's the Bills' number two receiver. It's
but
like,
yeah,
it's
but
so
I didn't
bad.
Believe it. Yeah, like in my head, I'm like, no fucking way am I playing Diggs.
Oh, this slate sucked. And then I paid $7,500 for a George Kittle coming off a 40 burger two weeks in a row. And
that was fine.
I almost got off of him solely because I was like, this is a bad use of salary. I don't want to pay $7,500 at tight end, but I didn't like my build not with him. it wasn't that I thought he was like the jam spot, which paying $7,500 for a tight end, you should think this guy's going to smash. And I just didn't. It was just the lineup.
So yeah, if the Falcons were at all competitive, which we knew they probably wouldn't be, Kittle gets like 180 yards in this game. But yeah,
Kittle
challenge
puts up the Andrews game.
Exactly. The challenge, obviously, with the Niners is once they get a lead, they really don't have any interest in like letting Jimmy G throw it around the yard. They're going to, you know, do their little pitches to Debo, and they're going to run with, you know, Jeff Wilson.
And that's why I felt good about the Wilson Kittle combo, is like going into those late games with where I was like, I'm going to be fine. Like if Kittle donks here, it's great. If he doesn't and Wilson does, I'm fine
too. And they almost both bonused. I mean, Wilson had 110 rushing yards. Kittle stopped at 93. And it's like he had six targets for 93 yards, like 15 yards a target. Like they would have never stopped him. He could have gotten 190 yards in this game if he wanted to.
If Kyler puts up anything in this game, I literally win 100% of my head to heads.
Did you guys watch the game? I didn't watch it.
Yeah, I watched it because I was sweating every time he would get the ball back. I'm like, this is going to be it. He's going to run for 40 yards.
He was just fucking up. They just couldn't even get first downs.
Is it like DeAndre Hopkins? Is that important to this team?
It's that they don't do anything creative. They just sub in Antoine Wesley for DeAndre Hopkins and have everyone do the same thing, and that doesn't really work.
Yeah, nobody even covers Wesley. They're like, all right, cool.
You're joking, but he was wide open for a touchdown and he messed it up. Kyler gave him a good throw and he just ran into the pylon and didn't get there.
Yeah, it was like he thought the pylon was part of it. He didn't even need to toe tap. It was like
it was really
and I was like, are you serious? But yeah, Wesley literally saw eight targets. I mean, if I would have known Kyler Murray's gonna throw eight balls to freaking
Antoine. I mean, can I just bitch about a seasonal team real fast? I have Kyler and Prater, the kicker. And I was just like, yo, they're going to put up 40 in Detroit. It's in the dome.
In
the dome, bro. Like everyone else is playing in weather. This is what you want in the fantasy playoffs. You know what I'm saying? And they had zero goddamn points at half. And then they like kick a couple field goals. And it's like, they just never do anything, but they never do anything. And it's like, why isn't Kyler running? Like, were they playing some extravagant zone that they couldn't figure out? Like, I just don't understand. This is not the worst team in the NFL, but I mean, at least close. It's like the Jaguars and the Jets and them.
Jets somehow have three wins, I think, which doesn't feel possible. But the Jets, to me, are the worst team.
The Jets are a demoralized team, too. When like Detroit always, like this is going to be a real hand in the dirt team.
No, you're 100% right.
Let's hear it. Is this a kneecap biting team?
It doesn't matter.
They legit never give up. Where the Jets, it's like when the Jets are down 14, their players literally don't run, don't try to catch the ball, don't block, don't go for tackles. Where like literally Kyler was under pressure every single snap. Every single snap, the pocket broke. And Kyler was literally running 30 yards in the backfield just trying to avoid
sacks. Fate giving hand in the dirt takes on Lions effort levels is like as good as this show has ever been.
I love it. If Mike Tomlin and Dan Campbell switch jobs, would anybody be able to tell the difference?
I don't know. Tomlin, if they win one more game, he's never had a losing record in 15 years, which feels crazy.
He's like a master motivator who's so shitty at like X's and O's and like game theory and clock management and challenges.
But getting your guys to play hard is like 80% of the battle of being an NFL coach.
I guess so, because Tomlin always does that. And the teams are always competitive no matter how untalented. I mean, although
maybe that's not true, because the Jaguars seemed like they were trying really hard today and they just suck.
I mean, when you have Trevor Lawrence, who's like basically Zach Wilson with long hair, it's what are you going to do?
Yeah. Oh, man.
what do they say? He has a sub 2% touchdown rate this season.
He's got less. I mean, he's worse in every category than Davis Mills.
Christ on his throne. That's tough. It's not, very, very, that's very brutal. Tough.
That's not brutal. Good. All right. The team I played. So I played Dak, which was pretty off the board.
Yeah, and I don't know why you did that.
Buddy, that was crazy. Buddy, did I regret it?
What do you mean you don't regret it? Didn't you see that?
No, I said I do regret it.
Oh, yeah. Dude, he's like playing hurt. His calf is like messing up his mechanics. Didn't you see all this?
The biggest issue is that the Cowboys actually have no interest in scoring points. They are like, we're going to get to 14. Our defense is going to own all of these loser NFC East teams, and we are going to hand it off to Zeke and throw screens to Dalton Schultz and get out of here.
That's correct.
And it's working for them, and it's hard to encapsulate all that stuff from a projections perspective. Like, it's hard to just press a button that says this team is actually not interested in scoring points. But they're really not.
Remember the first goddamn game of the season when Amari had 16 targets and CeeDee had 17, and it was just like, this is going to be the funnest team in the entire NFL all season, and they went rushing in defense instead because all of a sudden Micah Parsons ended up being the second coming.
And Trayvon Lawrence Diggs Taylor. is unbelievable. He had an interception in this game. He's unbelievable.
And Lawrence, I mean, that team can do it, right? And it's kind of like with the Chiefs. Obviously, the Chiefs, like...
No, it's like the same thing. It's like they both have decided they don't want to play that brand of football anymore.
Right, except once in a while, the Chiefs whoop their wangs out and
hit. Which I think eventually... The Cowboys will do that too, but not unless they have to. They're dead. Like, the Cowboys are like 10 points is an insurmountable lead. So what's the point?
We need Micah Parsons or Diggs to get a high ankle sprain to get any fantasy points out of the Cowboys from here on out. I think.
Yeah. The Cowboys still have it though.
They're going to go back to that week one before Gallup went down soon. Like, don't you think?
I mean, they play D, bro.
Their pass rush is formidable.
I mean, Sammy is not wrong. Like, Sammy is right, but it is just, it's depressing that my two favorite teams have decided that they want to be the 1985 Nebraska Cornhuskers. it's not the type of football I want to watch. Like, I'm not excited to turn my TV on Sunday and watch them, you know, watch Zeke. I mean, and the other thing about this game was that Zeke would run for 2 yards and then get winded, and Pollard would come in and just be ripping off these chunk plays. And then they'd go right back to Zeke the play after. And you're just like, what are we doing here? Like, what?
They like getting less yards on run. They want to control the clock. Anyway, Dak was an egregious fish play.
I just don't understand why. Honestly, when I saw you flip Dak, I was like, what?
The logic came down to I had him projected better than Tua anyways, and I know that I had all these other Dolphins anyways, but it just, something about clicking the four Dolphins just felt impossibly bad. It just felt impossibly bad to have four Dolphins.
I get it. And Tua does suck. I mean, in all fairness.
He doesn't. I don't want to get into the Tua bashing. I don't think he's a baller, but people are Dude, way too hard.
Did you see him truck a guy at the end of
yes.
the Yeah, he's a baller. That was like, amazing. Don't sit here. That's like... I want somebody like that, not somebody like a freaking
Look at the Jets' wins this season. It's come when quarterbacks that we all kind of don't like just gave up, right? Tannehill just basically sucked against the Jets, and when he got punched in the mouth, you know, they stopped trying. The Bengals won. Joe Burrow, who we do like, just was not very good in that game. And then I guess the Texans game, it's like, whatever. There's nothing to learn from that.
Do we like Joe Burrow? I'm not sure if I – Joe Burrow.
I like Joe Burrow because when he is in his street clothes, he looks like basically my identical twin. So I need to be kind to Joe Burrow.
Tilted me way too much this year.
Well, the Bengals are just very tilting because it's like a total whack-a-mole trying to guess – who's going to see the most targets? Is Burrow going to be any good at passing the ball deep on a given week? Like, it's just unbelievable.
I mean, it all comes down to, is Jamar Chase going to catch the ball, or is he going to tip it behind himself for an interception? That's kind of what decides Burrow's fate.
Yeah.
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 Anyway, you played Dak. Yeah.
I played Dak, and it basically came down to, I thought Dak was fine and I did not want to play four Dolphins. It's really what it came down to. And then played Gaskin, played James Robinson, Deontay Johnson, Devontae Parker, Gabe Davis. I thought those were the optimal wide receivers. I played Gesicki in the Bills, and then I had Adams in my flex. And actually what happened, if I'm going to be really honest with the listeners to the Gilcast, is...
Yeah, let them know. Let them know what happened.
I swapped to Debo. I swapped to Debo as Gabriel Davis is catching his second touchdown. And I'm like, oh shit, actually I can unswap. I think that I think Gabe Davis was like 35 to 45% depending on the contest. So I was like, I'm probably good here. And he locked. Like, as Gabe Davis was scoring a second, it was like 3:05 Central Time, and it had locked. And in like my 30 seconds of indecision on if I actually wanted to swap or not, Debo locked. And I mean, the Debo swap, like, he did outscore Adams by like 1 point or whatever. But it's not even a joke anymore. Like, we're not even conjecturing. He's just a running back. Like, he got more rushes than targets. He scored a rushing touchdown. Like, it just
and the rushing touchdown wasn't even one of their like sidecar shotgun pitches. They
lined
him up in
the eye
and
ran
the counter tray.
It was
just broken.
It was just a straight up running play. And by the way, he wasn't even as low owned as he should have been. I think probably because lots of people were swapping, but he was like 10 to 15% owned in some of the double ups.
Yeah, he had 5 targets, 4 for 60. It's not egregious. I mean, it's a lot
better than the one target in the first half.
Yeah.
I mean, and his targets are running back targets. They're like 5 yard. He has like a 4.88.
I mean, the other thing that people, because people are making it like an Eli Mitchell, George Kittle thing, which it is, but also Ayuk is playing as good as he was last year. And that's a huge difference in how, because Debo, the first 6 weeks of the season, they were treating Brandon Ayuk like he was a leper. And
Debo's whopper was out of control. I mean, he was like the most, he was getting,
he had like a 30% market share. Remember the story that Ayuk was running behind River Crackraft in practice? Like, what? I hate Kyle Shanahan.
It's still taking me back to week one, the Trey Sermon tilt.
Oh, not the Trey Sermon tilt, the Raheem Mostert tilt. But Trey Sermon was game day inactive.
Yeah, game day inactive after like don't even get me started.
Yeah.
Kyle Shanahan tilt. But yeah, I mean, Debo legit. I mean, the 4 targets that he's, or I think he had 5 targets this week. That's like,
I mean, if I had known that Debo was gonna be that owned on my swap, I think I might have just stayed. I think because what was Adams owned? What was Adams owned in double ups?
A ton. Devontae was the second most owned wide receiver.
Okay, then no, I still would.
He was
60%
owned.
I'm actually looking at my results right now, and I got back way more than I thought I did. I got like 70% back with 122.
Yeah, we didn't do so bad, but it was not. I knew I was going to lose coming into the day. Every lineup I built, I'm like, loser, and then I'd swap loser. Loser, loser. It was just that I had no hope.
It was
of winning.
Just one of those days.
I was like the Jaguars today. Like, at no point was I ever serious about winning American dollars.
All right. Well, let's just get these tournament teams over real quick. Sure. So in the red zone, this team is so bad. I did a Kyler Murray double stack with Christian Kirk and Zach Ertz. Kyler Murray got 13. I did play Donta Foreman. Thought that was sharp.
How did he do?
He got the bonus.
He got 18
points. But I also paired him with 25% owned Michael Carter. Not sharp. That is sharp as a spoon.
25% owned Jet. What could go wrong?
No, but he was 25% owned.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh yeah, I thought you said 5%. And no, the one thing I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt today was that James Robinson, at whatever the fuck he was going to be owned in tournaments, was just the most brain dead level one simpleton shit ever. So I was just like, whatever
it was like playing the low price tight end who was playing Foster Moreau.
Yeah, it was just like, absolutely do not do that. Amari Cooper did nothing, 2 points. Albert Wilson did nothing, 2 points. I liked him as leverage on Parker. And I thought there was like a decent, yeah, I mean, he had 8 targets last week when Waddle was in there. So I felt that was pretty good. Ertz was
I like that play a lot, actually. They've been
Ertz was like nothing owned, and honestly, I was like so in like fantasy football depression. I forgot to swap off of Devontae Adams, so I left him. I should have swapped him to Debo, and then I played the Jaguars defense, which I'm realizing I should have played the Texans defense.
Yeah, the sharp move was playing the Texans. It's like everybody was on the Jaguars, and it's like, yo, these teams both suck. Why doesn't this other sucky team at a fraction of
the quarter of the ownership? Yeah.
Not a very good team, to be honest.
Nope. Yeah. Absolutely not.
My tournament team was did not cash on her 108 points in the red zones, not great. But I got a little bit weird because this week I just felt like there was no Tom Brady. There was no, like, I didn't feel great about Josh Allen individually. There was nobody I felt like great double stack, so I wanted to get weird. So I went with a Singletary Diggs stack without Allen because I thought that a way to play Diggs, who I thought had the highest upside of any wide receiver this week, was to get off of the Allen by hoping that Singletary could get a touchdown or two. So I went to Singletary.
Singletary played all the snaps too.
Yeah,
he did.
So as soon as I saw the Moss was an active thing, I went Singletary. Singletary Diggs was kind of like, I knew Diggs was going to be owned, and I thought that playing him with Singletary and not Allen was a way to get to Diggs without taking on the ownership. And then I went with a contrarian double stack with Garoppolo and Debo and Ayuk, and thought I could fade the Jeff Wilson / Kittle chalk, brought it back with Zacchaeus. And then I went chalky the rest of my lineup with James Robinson, Mike Gesicki, and then the Bills D. So I had a couple of spots that I wanted leverage on that I thought was sharp, but the Garoppolo Ayuk thing not work.
I only played one tournament lineup this week, put it in the spy. It was, of course, a Kyler Murray double stack. I stacked him with Kirk and AJ Green. What else did I do in this?
God, we should have gotten paid, dude.
Really, really should have. I mean, but I brought it back with Amon-Ra St. Brown, which was great. So Kirk and St. Brown both smashed, Green and Murray.
And Green got like 12?
Green 10.4. Yeah. Not great. I don't want to like talk about this on the show, but I guess I have to. I did play Gaskin in this lineup. I don't know why I did that.
Such a fish. I literally have gills and fins. What am I doing?
What's worse, Miles Gaskin in this or Foster Moreau the week that Nate played him at like 69% owned?
I'm literally telling so you bad. Why I didn't play the guy in cash games, and then I play him in tournaments. Ownership. Jesus Christ.
Guys, I think we're taking the relatable common man thing on this show too far. We can't play this bad.
the people love it. I played O'Shaughnessy in this lineup too, cause I wanted to have 100% O'Shaughnessy. Went with Devontae Adams and, the Cowboys DST. Cowboys DST was a straight smash, 16 points. This team scored 142.5 points and did cash the spy somehow. But it was a really bad team and I don't deserve any of the money that I won.
love to hit the spy min cash. Sometimes the spy min cash is all you have on a given day.
Why don't I just play Donta Foreman instead of Gaskin? Like, it's so stupid.
So stupid.
Jesus. You know what happened? I literally built this lineup like right after we did the Soul Cast on Wednesday, and I just kept it. I didn't even look at it. I'm just like, you know what? I like this lineup. I'm putting it in the spy, damn it. It's just...
Foreman would have been sharp because, I mean, I do think the Amon-Ra St. Brown thing was sharp. I didn't play any of him. I think that was like,
no, I thought that
in
was,
the dome, the same reasons too. That we wanted Kyler and stuff like that. I mean,
well, and what's even more interesting is we all, you know, do all these tout shows and everyone's like, you know, bring backs overrated. We're not really doing bring backs with the Lions. So like, I think the field was overcorrecting on the bring back stuff for a while, but I think now with these huge spreads, I think people are doing it less.
Yeah.
And the thing was, obviously this game didn't even go how we thought, but like,
right.
It can go both ways, right? Like the Lions can get up by throwing the ball to Amon-Ra, and then it can, you know, the Cardinals passing game can be used to come back on it. I feel like Renfro.
I honestly feel like Hunter Renfro is the only guy all year who has done the get down by 30 points and get targeted every snap thing.
I mean, just because gets targeted every snap, whether they're up or down. I mean, it doesn't matter. Yeah,
that's a good point.
So, yeah, but it was a tough week. I mean, I was not feeling it this week at all, and
it's just crazy. I really was not feeling it.
Well, dude, it's shit. Let's be honest. It's shit with all these like postponed games, move to Monday, move to Tuesday. Like,
yeah, it's garbage. On
the NFL, like, oh yeah, we're gonna change the protocols because like we're having too many people like test positive, and it's just like, man, this is it just like, I don't know.
It was a whirlwind because it's also, I hate when the NFL moves these games to Saturday in December. So we already were planning on losing a couple games, and then you add all this COVID nonsense. It was, and then the injury.
Yeah, the NFL needs like max games per slate, because especially now that no teams are good, now that no teams are good, if you like even removing like one marquee team off a slate, like you remove the Buccaneers, that already makes it shitty. You remove the Rams, that makes it really shitty. And then you move Chiefs and Chargers are gone, and it's like, what are we even doing here? Although
Lamar's out, and then it's like, that whole game I wrote off, and it ended up being the game. Like,
all we have left is Kyler in the dome, and he disappoints, and we're broke.
You know what's funny is, had that Patriots game been on the main slate, the Ramondre tilt from everyone would have been out of control.
That would have been bad.
People would have been losing their minds on the Ramondre tilt. But I don't know. Do you guys have any takes on these Monday games, the two gamers or the four gamers or whatever?
Yeah, my take is sit them the hell out. I'm taking a break from
short slate
football. Yeah, it's, you know, let's rebound, let's come back next week. That's how I feel about. Plus, you got the fantasy playoff like seasonal tilt, and I just can't handle it all. My emotions are just way too fragile for this.
Are the Steelers? Gonna make the playoffs?
Yeah, of course. Dude, they have an extra playoff team now, remember? Of course the Steelers are going to make it. And they're going to get bounced in the first round. And
it's just hard for me to say.
Yeah, I mean, the team's so terrible. But that's what you get, right? The NFL expands the playoffs, and then you're just going to get crappier teams in there. And
Nate, worse football. Sammy told us that he goes to sleep listening to Mike Tomlin press conferences.
That's how much I was hoping you guys would forget about that, honestly.
You just lose brain cells every, like, what?
That's how much.
What
that's
football
how much,
nonsense do you want to hear from these coaches? Like, outside of Brandon Staley, I don't want to hear any of these coaches talk.
I just think his point was that he's like a real Steelers fan, that like he like defines a core part of his identity is like being a fan.
Do you sleep in a Steelers jersey? Do you wear a Terry Bradshaw?
No, I used to have a Steelers pillowcase. Honestly, it's, you know, the more and more I've gotten into fantasy, the less like hardcore about the team I've gotten. You know, the whole like tribalistic nature, like understanding like how awful that is in like so many like sports wise, politics wise, all that stuff, how like bad it is for you, has gotten me like less and less hardcore. But I still, you know, I still love the Steelers. And look, don't knock it. You should try out a Mike Tomlin press conference sometime, Nate. Like, he is an entertaining guy. He's a great guy. You should, you know, give it a whirl.
I bet he is.
Yeah.
I bet he is an entertaining guy. All right. Let's get out of here. Yeah. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. We will be back next week.